You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
We see bees represented as cartoon characters for cereals and on plastic containers of honey. We say we're busy as a bee and mind your beeswax. People we admire are the bee's knees, and when we're preoccupied with something, we have a bee in our bonnet. But most of us really don't know much about the bee, and that's something the Environmental Youth Alliance would like to change with the Bee Project. Liz Perkins is an apprentice beekeeper, a member of the Environmental Youth Alliance, and she's just cycled to the studio from the hives at the community garden in North China Creek Park. She joins me now. Good morning, Liz.
Hi.
How is the community garden laid out, and where are its beehives?
The garden is supposed to be a resource for artists who make art out of natural sort of plants and willow and that kind of thing. So there's an orchard, there's a willow plantation, there's a natural dye bed, and then there's a huge flower garden for the bees. And then the hive is kind of tucked away in a corner beyond a beautiful fence that was constructed out of willow to divert the bees' flight path over up above, I think it's 8 feet tall, so that they don't kind of swoop right through the path where people are walking.
I know that community garden, but I never imagined there were beehives in that garden.
Yeah, we've actually made signs to alert people. We have one that says "Bee Friendly Zone" with a picture of a bee and a person holding hands, and another one that says "Pollinators at Work." But they're not really actually a risk to people, so we just thought we'd put up the signs just to make people feel comfortable.
And now, how did the Environmental Youth Alliance start the Apprentice Beekeeper Program?
It just started this year. So it's a partnership with MOPARC, which is the Means of Production Artist Raw Resource Collective, and that's the group of artists that works in the garden and uses the materials there. And also Brian Campbell, he's a master beekeeper in the local community. The Environmental Youth Alliance, EYA, decided to find 8 youth apprentices who are interested in becoming beekeepers. And yeah, it started in mid-May, and we meet once a week on Saturday mornings to learn about sustainable hive management.
And why did you want to be an apprentice beekeeper?
For myself, I want to be a farmer, so I want to have a lot of biodiversity and a healthy farm with lots of crops that are being pollinated. But I think it's really important just to have more beekeepers in the world in general right now. Bee populations are falling all over North America, so that's native bees and also honeybees. The honeybee industry is facing a lot of problems right now. They're losing a lot of bees. So, yeah, sustainable beekeeping will keep up those bee populations so that we can have a more secure food system, and also just that we can maintain that biodiversity, because a lot of flowers and plants have evolved alongside with bees and pollinators, and so if the pollinator populations collapse, then we won't have those plants anymore either. So it's about food. It's about maintaining our supply of vegetables and berries and fruits and nuts and that kind of thing. But it's also just about healthy ecosystems in general.
Now, you mentioned that there's a crisis in bees, the bee population is falling. Why is that happening?
Well, in the United States, there's something called colony collapse disorder, which is a mysterious phenomenon where bees abandon their hives and never return. And in Canada, I think they have a bit of that, but also beekeepers are finding thousands of dead bees when they open up their hives after the winter. And so both problems are caused by, scientists have been exploring this for the last decade or so, and they can't pinpoint an exact cause, but they think it's most likely just the combination of all the different problems that are facing honeybees. The bees' immune systems are being totally overwhelmed by a combination of diseases and pests, and also the poisons in our environment, like pesticides and even the chemicals that beekeepers will put into their hives to try to deal with some of the problems, like the varroa mite or Nosema. It's a fungus. Basically, the industry standard is to treat those problems with chemicals, and so that's poisoning the bees as well. And also, because they're using those kinds of solutions, these pests are developing resistance to the products that beekeepers are using. And so all of these things combined, it's just getting harder and harder to deal with all these problems, and the populations are falling.
So pesticides are a problem. These chemicals are a problem. What can beekeepers do? What can farmers do to wean themselves off of pesticides?
Well, definitely having less pesticides in our agricultural system will help bees. I guess just sustainable beekeeping would involve not just treating things by dumping a bunch of chemicals into your hive. That's what we're going to be learning over the course of the next 4 months or so. So I don't actually have all that knowledge quite yet, but there's a bunch of different organic ways and integrated pest management kind of systems to kind of keep your hive healthy. But it doesn't really work on a large scale. A lot of the honeybee keepers in North America have thousands and thousands of hives, and they truck them around all around the country to pollinate monocrops all at once. And that's really stressful for the bees, and it's also impossible to have kind of sustainable beekeeping techniques on such a large scale. So I think people can become beekeepers as kind of a hobbyist in your own backyard. In Vancouver, you're allowed to have, I think it's 2 hives. And so, yeah, definitely less pesticides, more hobby beekeepers. And you can also plant more habitat for bees. That'll help the native bee populations as well as the honeybees. So lots of flowers. And you can even create little homes for native bees as well. They like to burrow into kind of narrow cylinders. So if you have a stalk of a plant that's dead and it's hollow, if it's about a centimeter in diameter or a little bit less, you can place those all around your garden, and bees will burrow into them and make homes.
Now, if I were to become a hobby beekeeper, what's my danger level?
I guess it depends on the hive. Different colonies have different temperaments. Most colonies are the Italian bee, which is a pretty mild-tempered bee. The ones that we have at the garden in North China Creek Park are pretty nice. I haven't been stung yet, but every beekeeper will get stung. So as long as you remain calm and don't do things that really frustrate the bees, then I don't think your risk is too high.
You just mentioned the Italian bees, and I know there's basically a difference between native bees and honeybees. Can you tell us a little about the differences?
There are a lot of different kinds of bees. A lot of them just look like flies, and you might not even know that it's a bee. Blue Orchard Mason bee is a blue bee, so that one would be pretty distinct. I would think that's a native bee. The honeybees that we have here are not native to North America. Obviously, they're, I guess, Italian. Yeah, there's also Russian honeybees, and I think there's another kind of bee that makes honey from South America. But yeah, most of the bees that live here are solitary bees. They don't have a hive, and they don't produce honey.
Thanks for coming in and talking to us today, Liz.
Yeah.
We've been speaking with Liz Perkins. She's an apprentice beekeeper and a member of the Environmental Youth Alliance. For more information about all their programs and resources, go to eya.ca.